The thing about using a looper on stage is that every song, well, yes, there's that. It can just fall apart and you just go, well,
yeah,
I messed that up. So we're just going to have to start this whole process over.
Yeah.
And every song is like twice as long because you have to build it from scratch.
Yes.
And so rather than just be like, oh, well, you know, I'll just start playing the song right at the start, wherever the intro and verse begins, it's like, well, I have to do the bass line and I have to do the chords and then I have to do this little fill thing and then I'll start the song. And so,
yeah,
that's what I did. I did a cover of The District Sleeps Alone Tonight by the postal Service.
Nice.
But yeah, I need to find more songs to do with the looper and then just make original songs with the looper.
Yeah.
But I'm still kind of figuring it out. And it's like, I'm curious about what you do is because you throw it all in an Ableton set, don't you?
Yeah. It's glorified karaoke at this point. Like, 'cause what I do in Ableton is I just, I used to have it to where, like, you know, a scene would just be like the audio track and then I'd just like either play over it or just let it go. Whereas now I literally have it all in like the arrangement view. Mm-hmm. And so I'll just play and it will play through each audio track. And like, that's pretty much it. Like, now it's running lights too. So there's that. Yeah. And I have to, it's a lot of pre-programming with it, but yeah.
I mean, 'cause I know how complex it gets to just like map out a show and then like time it and then.
Well, the cool thing is like I can make it to where like for mine, I can make it to where exactly from like start to finish, it's like, you know, 40 minutes. So like I can do a 40-minute set with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you even get time to like talk in between?
And no, I like make time in between each one to talk. And like none of them, I think the only one that starts off where I need to sing like almost immediately is like the last one.
Ah, well,
so like
you've already done all your talking.
Yeah. And I'm like, thank you so much. It's a god awful small affair.
Yeah.
But yeah. So like I just set it up to where like in between I can do that and then like it'll come in with like a drum beat or something like that.
Yeah. I have a hard time like figuring out, maybe it's just that like I haven't done it very much yet, but like just figuring out what to do on stage.
Yeah.
'Cause so part of like my product, I guess, is the fact that I'm selling authenticity that,
which all artists try to do to a certain extent.
Yeah. But like this podcast is part of my product. I'm selling who I am. I say like a lot and you're just going to have to deal with that.
Yeah.
So the podcast itself and the music that I make is just, it's just a part of like who I am.
Yeah.
And even though a lot of the music that I make is not situations that I have specifically been in fact, most of my songs are hypothetical situations that I decided to write a song about.
Yeah, but you are really upfront with that too.
Yeah, exactly. And so whenever I, like, whenever I'm on stage, I'm wondering if I'm like, should I be louder or bigger than I feel right now? Or do I just like acknowledge
the smallness of
what's going on?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good point. 'Cause like, do you normally play like standing or sitting?
Standing?
Okay. Cool. I didn't know if you were one of those people that like sitting with your guitar
That's kind of uncomfortable.
Music. I am not a fan of people who do that. No. Yeah. 'Cause like for me, like my music is like dancey and crazy. So like, I kind of just go crazy. And a year ago, whenever, because Scott Booker stayed through like my set at Metro Music Fest last year.
Mm-hmm.
So like I went into his office like the next week just to like thank him. and then wound up talking to him and Derek about just like music and like influences and stuff like that. And yeah. Derek really turned me on to Gil Manterra's Party Dream, mm-hmm. which is this band that existed from like 1999 to like 2012-ish. and they basically did what I'm doing right now, which yeah. is like, you know, dressing up in crazy costumes and just having a lot of fun on stage doing mm-hmm. this like weird 80s thing.
Yeah.
But they were doing it when it like was really not cool.
Yeah.
Cause like it's becoming cool to do this 80s thing again. Not to the.
Well, yeah. Know. In the 90s, like it was like screw all this performance stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Nirvana and whatever.
Yeah. And boy bands and yeah. the Spice Girls. Like, no, cause like for them, too, like they would have all these weird like gimmicks that they would do. Like they'd wear like, you know, those old 80s like across the entire eyes sunglasses and like wear spandex on stage, even mm-hmm. though they're only playing to like 300 people.
Mm-hmm.
But like they, I'm still convinced that they were the greatest band in the world and just they got fucked over by, you know, management and stuff like that.
Yeah. Which is why at least the internet has made it easier for people yes. to not get screwed over by management or like.
Because they don't have management.
Yeah. It's like, who needs a record label? Chance the Rapper doesn't.
Chance the Rapper. I'm not like that kind of stuff is cool. Like, oh, hey, Chance the Rapper. But like at the same time, I'm just kind of like, whatever. Like, stop going on and on about how independent you are.
Well, sure. But like I bring that up just because it's like,
yeah,
you won't get screwed over by a producer or a record label if there's no one there to screw you over.
That's yeah. yeah. But then there are also managers that can like really help you.
Yeah.
Like, Scott Plucker. I always think about like, what if a band like, you know, is like, hey, tour with us. And then like, you know, I have to, you know, take all the calls and I have to do everything.
Yeah.
That's when I'm like, maybe I should have a manager,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm sure Chance the Rapper still has a manager, just not definitely. A label.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you he's not taking all those calls from like BOK Center about tour booking and everything like that.
Yeah, geez, that sounds like a nightmare. I'm not taking those calls.
Yeah, no. That's the way I am. I'm like, I'll need a manager at some point.
Sure.
Not now, especially, but.
But anyways, like right now you're like stage persona is obviously like bigger than you actually are.
Yeah. And that. Yeah.
How do you do that? I guess.
I don't even know. It just kind of started like, you know, watching bands with a lot of stage presence, they were usually bigger than they were. And I was like, I kind of want to get me some of that, you know? So I'm like, you know, bands like Bleachers or like, Gil Manterra's Party Dream, especially like mm-hmm. they're, it was comprised of two guys, Gil Manterra. And then who was like, you know, doing everything technologically. So he'd be like, this was before like Ableton and everything. They were sure. using Roland, I think it was an MC like 3000, like a MIDI composer. So like it would send MIDI out to like drum machines and everything like that. Like very, you know, before computer music, yeah. like he had to set everything up in this groove box, you know? And then the singer was Ultimate Donnie. So like, mm-hmm. you know, he was making it seem like they were just this huge band, you know,
yeah, yeah.
when like, yeah, they got to where they were pretty big. They were selling out places that like, you know, major record label artists couldn't really sell out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so like they would just like, you know, be bigger than what they were. And then like, for me, I'm just like, it's kind of gotten to this point where I'm like, I no longer care what people think of me. So I'm kind of like, yeah, sure, I'll just dance like an idiot on stage.
Mm-hmm.
and act like I'm this huge rock star when
yeah.
everyone in the audience knows that I'm not.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we had the conversation before the Topicana set with the sound guy, because he was like, oh, the guy before you, like, he did only did a 20-minute set, and he did it 20 minutes early. So you guys can, like, either wait until, like, your set time, or you can play your set twice. And then I was like, or we could just bullshit some songs, yeah. you know? Double the bullshit, double the fun. Like, because that's kind of the way I am. Like, the more you bullshit, the more people will buy into it. Especially nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, with all this fake news shit that's going around.
Sure. But I mean, like, because even now, like, again, I'm trying to think about how I can throw that bigness into myself, because yeah. I am uncomfortable that, you know, hey, I know there's only like 5 of you here and I'm still gonna sing a song at you, you know?
That's the thing too, is like, I've had a lot of those, like, oh, there's only 5 people here. And then I started being like, well, if there's only 5 people here, then I want to give those 5 people a really, really memorable experience, so that mm-hmm. there will be more than 5 people next time.
Yeah.
You know, like, it got, and I'm going to keep talking about Metro Music Fest, because that's been one of my best shows to date. Mm. The Sonic Water stage that we were playing on, great stage to play on, because it had a lot of foot traffic from both sides. Yeah. So, like, when I started my solo set, my brother was the only person in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of it, there were probably like 75 people watching me.
Yeah.
So, you know, in a festival aspect like that, you can really draw a nice crowd just by, you know, being something different.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't think anyone else was dressing up in, you know, red leather, you know, spandex and, you know, like a stupid looking jacket dancing around to some 80s music, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anyone at that festival was singing John Parr's St. Elmo's Fire in the correct key, not lip synced.
Sure.
You know? And making a point that, hey, this is the only time you'll ever hear this in the correct key, not lip synced.
Okay.
He was one of those artists back in the 80s that got big off of one song and wasn't really that good.
Yeah.
So, like, he still performs, you know, now, but, like, I think he's lowered it, like, a fifth. It's so not cool now. And, like, back when he would perform it in the 80s, it was all the, like, top of the pop stuff. So, like, he'd just lip sync it, you know. One of those people like Lamal, who, like, Neverending Story is his... You know, his top 10 hits is Neverending Story.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah.
And, I mean, that's what I have a hard time, like, feeling, is that, you know, I am scared. I am scared. Like, I'm worried that people like my music. That's why I
care so much.
Try to make it good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, it's the same thing that I'm doing here, that, you know, whenever I talk about, well, hey, you know, I feel like we should, you know, just have a normal conversation with people.
Yeah.
I'm not changing that in any way whenever I do go on stage and I'm like, hey, instead of actually like talking to people, I'm going to sing a song at you now.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's authenticity is weird.
Yeah. And
it's weird.
And I mean, it makes it easier to have a stage persona like Johnny Extreme to be a complete asshole but not mean it.
Yeah, like, and that's kind of the thing with like Johnny Extreme is like, you know, I talk on stage like this, like I'm from California, you know, I'm from the Sunset Strip, dude. So like, you know, I talk on stage like that and I wear like, you know, this big ass like 80s blonde mullet wig while I wear, you know, like a Joy Division shirt, black jeans and like a, you know, Christmas suit. because why the fuck not?
But I mean, even at the same time, like, but maybe this whole conversation for me has just been, how can I be, how can I care less like you, Campbell?
Yeah, like, shit, I don't know what happened in my life that made me not care anymore.
Yeah.
Something broke me. I don't know what it was, but something broke me, and I just stopped caring. Yeah. I used to be a, you know, like a do my hair every day guy, you know? Now it's, I don't think I've done my hair since, like, last week.
Yeah, well, you look like you, though.
Fine, yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's kind of the benefit of going to a music school because, like, everyone's appearance is their own.
Yeah. And
to tell someone otherwise would be, like, to tell them not to do their music.
Yeah, and I just remember, like, how much I cared at the beginning of college.
Yeah.
I think college is what broke me. Yeah.
Well, because I mean, now once again, you're wearing a flowery scarf.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not saying that like as like a how dare you make a fashion mistake and wear a flowery scarf. It's like, nah, dude, this is who you are.
Yeah.
And you're wearing a flowery scarf.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Things are just weird. Life is weird. Like, I just remember, like, when I started college, I would always make sure, like, my socks were matched, where I was like, I don't think I've matched a pair of socks in, like, nope, 2 years.
You're wearing a burgers
sock. So I got one sock with burgers and one sock with, like, pizza and beer on it.
Okay, well, at least they're both food. Yeah. That matches.
I was like, gotta match something. Food, there we go. Yeah. I don't even know, like, why am I sitting? I slouched so much. How'd that even happen? No. Yeah, it's just one of those things, you know? You know? Things.
Because eventually, you know, the talk show is going to be a persona.
Yes. Yeah. And I want to even do, like, some of those, like, weird street pranks, you know? Where, like, people...
Bird up!
Worst show on television. God, Eric Andre... What I've discovered about, like, Tropicana ice cream is we're doing to the music industry what he's doing to society. Like, we're going to fix the music industry by, like, anally fisting it. Like, just how Eric Andre is going to fix society by, like, anally fisting it.
Well, I mean, it's just like, here's what you think television is. I'm on television anyways, and fuck it.
Well, and, like, have you heard his original concept for the show?
Mm-mm. I haven't really even watched the show, but...
Yeah, like, I started and I was like, you know, this is kind of cool. And then I just became, like, obsessed with the weird, like, why would someone do this? Like, why would someone film, you know, you know, a two-hour interview and only show 2 minutes of it? Like, less than 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But so, like, the original concept for it was, because he was working a temp job, and he was like, what if someone had, like, a big job like a talk show host and treated it like a temp job? So, like, that's why a lot of the first season is, like, you can tell he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Because he's working a temp job.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
Which is kind of the opposite of what your talk show is going to be is more that, like, well, I don't know, that. What is this Johnny Extreme character?
So Johnny Extreme, it was originally going to be a band. I was going to make an 80s like hair metal cover band called Johnny Extreme's Pizza Dream. And then I was like, I also wanted to be a talk show host. Obviously, that's never going to happen big scale other than just like this talk show that I'm doing. So I was like, you know, why not do it?
Yeah.
Make it a thing. And I wanted it to be live too. I didn't want it to be like something that was just like videotaped and chopped up. And then it became this thing because I also, no one ever uses the songwriting room downstairs.
Yeah.
Which is dumb because it's a great room that's relatively inexpensive to use.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, no one ever uses this. And I wanted to host shows down there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, hey, I can host shows, and then whatchamacallit. And then I wanted to have a talk show, so I was like, what if I kind of do both?
Yeah. So,
and, you know, I love the Eric Andre show, so I was like, what if it was just like this weird pizza-themed talk show? So, yeah.
Well, I mean, like, why? Like,
why not? Why,
well, like, why pizza? Why Johnny? Why?
So, pizza.
I mean, pizza is self-explanatory.
Here's my thing with pizza. I've worked in 3 pizza restaurants, 2 locations of one of them. Mm-hmm. So, like, I've had 4 pizza jobs. I eat pizza probably, you know, a good – it used to be more. I used to eat it, like, almost every day, especially when I was working pizza jobs. But, like, I eat pizza probably, like, 3 to 5 times a week.
Yeah.
So I ingest a lot of pizza. It's one of the few things I really love in life. One of my few luxuries in life.
Sure.
So I was like, yeah, pizza. It's got to have a pizza themed talk show.
Yeah.
And then Johnny, where did Johnny Extreme come from? I'm trying to remember like when I was like, when I thought Johnny Extreme, fuck, I don't even know. But I was just like, I wanted to have that, like, the original concept of it was like this 80s hair metal one-hit wonder, you know, that, like, Warrant with, like, Cherry Pie. You know, yeah, like, that's their one hit. So, like, someone like that with one hit and then acting like a big shot.
Yeah.
But he's now, like, a raging alcoholic.
Yeah.
So, like, that's kind of, like, the character of Johnny Extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And then the co-host for it is going to be an ex-pro wrestler who's my bodyguard. Because, you know, someone like that feels the need to have a bodyguard.
Who's that going to be?
The stage name is Muscle Man Mike. It should be Landon Baumgartner. I've talked to him a few times about doing it, and he's seemed down. So, yeah. Yeah, Muscle Man Mike. Just because why not?
And so, like, this is also a way for me to figure out, like, what once again, like, what am I doing?
So, like, I've kind of developed things. It used to be a lot more. Hold on, I'm going to adjust this microphone because it's weird. Microphone's
weird. And this is also a way for me to, like, promote the talk show
into the ether. So, like, the way I, like, I've developed some things. So, like, there's going to be this, like, part of it called See or No. And it's going to be, like, I ask you, like, not even, like, a question. Just be, like, you know, a random thing. Like, Sandra Bullock, See or No. And then have, like, that music from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire whenever the lights come down. They're like, doo-doo-doo.
Yeah.
And then have, like, Muscle Man Mike have, like, 2 flashlights that he, like, shines over your head.
Okay.
And so, like, there's that. There was an idea where I would, like, order pizza and then have the interview the pizza guy.
Okay.
Just like on the spot. What other ideas did I had a lot of ideas for this. You know, having that, like, you know, whenever there's like the beginning of an award show and it's like the host is like, oh, like I'm doing something. So like, it was going to be me like ordering pizza at a restaurant. It was like, oh shit, I have a talk show to host. Like, look at his watch and it's actually slice of pizza or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, like, there was that. I wanted to have where it was, like, every single time it was a band that I was in that, like, you know, I would interview a member of the band and then, like, talk shit on myself.
Mm.
So it'd be, like, if I had, like, Don't Tell Dina on, I'd be like, man, why is your guitar player such a piece of shit?
Yeah.
Just, like, back when I went to high school with him in the 80s, he was a, you know, he was a neo-Nazi skinhead. Just, like, make up random shit about myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Causing, like, beef with Johnny Extreme and Campbell Young. I thought about, for like the last thing of the talk show, just like eating pizza through a GIMP mask and like talking.
Oh, God.
And just like talking with my mouth full. Just absolute ridiculousness, this is really.
Shit posting incarnate.
Yeah, really. Like that was the initial intention of the Johnny Extreme show. yeah. And even when I talked to Derek about it, like, I think we only like glossed over the talk show and we talked music more, but like, he was like, so what is it? And I was like,
yeah, that's,
it's kind of like this. And then I told him the thing and he was like, okay, yeah, you can do that. Like, that's how things go between, like, when I asked her to do something, because I did the first ever show down there last year, and I was like, hey, like, no one uses this room. And he was like, I'll have to get some, like, kinks worked out because no one's used it, but yeah, you can, that's fine.
Sure.
It's whatever.
Yeah. And then, like, who's going to be on it?
I've asked a few. I kind of made, like, one blanket post without actually, you know, like, taking names down. But I was like, I want to have, you know, like, Santiago on it. Because, like, you mentioned, like, talk show for talk show. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, I'd love to have Santiago on there. initially, it was just a point to have, like, all of my bands give them a show.
Yeah,
especially for the bands like Don't Tell Dina, who don't have a ton of gigs right now. Yeah. Or, like, Topacana Ice Cream, who doesn't really exist.
I mean, you exist now.
Yeah, and we're somewhat legendary. Like, I had a lot of people being like, oh, like, my friend saw you and didn't know what happened. And I was like, yeah,
that's the point.
Yeah, that's the point.
There was a picture of the pig in the background.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I think that's really, like, that summed up what it was.
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, Jared took that picture at just the opportune time. Because it's, like, us doing our thing. And then, like, I think my brother was playing, like, a kazoo solo, too. But, yeah, like, and then, like, there was that picture. And then, like, Andrew Davis took some pictures, too. And it sort of, I think, like, our Twitter and Instagram followers, like, exponentially increased after that. It was so crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it makes no sense. Why would people care?
Well, maybe I have to integrate some either just bigness or give less shits.
That, I think that's the thing. The less shits you give, the more people care. That's what I've discovered with, like, Tinder too, is, like, the more crazy the questions, like, you ask, or for, like, a pickup line, like, the more intrigued they become. Mm-hmm. And then you can promote your music on Tinder, and that becomes hilarious. And they're like, oh, is that the only reason you're on here? And I'm like, yeah, I never intended to meet you in real life, you know?
Yeah. Would they still listen to your music, though?
Yeah, they did. Oh. And I actually, over a week, I, like, completely changed my demographic.
Huh.
So, like, because I set it to, I think, like, 18 through, like, 28, just to have, like, a nice 10-year gap or whatever. And, like, literally over, like, a week, it changed from, like, being mostly male to being, like, almost all female Spotify listeners. And, like, you know, it raised up my monthly listeners and subscribers. And I was like, this is insane. Why do you people care?
Yeah.
This is all one big shit post. No, like, yeah, like, and, like, Topacana Ice Cream, we go by fake names for that too. The whole idea of that is, like, we're started in the 1880s and we've been a band for 100 years, and any good music you've ever heard has been stolen from us.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's why on stage, you know, we played, like, Born to Run, and I was like, you know, Bruce Springsteen stole this from us.
Yeah.
it's stupid.
Yeah. Well, like, why is that so effective, though?
I have no idea. I think weird and dumb sells.
Yeah, apparently.
I know weird sells, because, like, if you think about a band like the Flaming Lips, like, if Weird didn't sell and we all just bought into like the most, you know, cookie cutter bullshit music, the Flaming Lips wouldn't be successful.
Sure.
Like, they're only successful because Weird, like, people are intrigued with weirdness.
Yeah. Well, you know? I mean, I guess that's why, like, the Miley thing happened. It was just, I mean, it was weird.
Obviously. The Miley thing is very weird, but I've grown to like it more and more. I initially was like, what are they doing?
I think that's what everyone was thinking.
Yeah, maybe not the people in it, but.
Well, sure.
But no, yeah, and then the more I listened, I was like, this is actually kind of cool. It's actually on Apple Music now and iTunes. It was originally just like SoundCloud, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know. Yeah, because as far as the more I try to sell authenticity,
yeah,
I feel like the harder it becomes to reach out in that way.
Yeah. Authenticity is, it's cool. And like, I was that way for a while. I was like, you know, I'm going to, cause I was originally doing like looper music like that too.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be doing like, but I was also using like a drum machine where I'd have like foot switches to start and stop it.
Yeah.
And like do like a drum fill. And then that rig got stolen and I had a laptop. So I was like, might as well do this computer music thing. So I was like trying to do like the authenticity thing where I'd be like, you know, oh, you're getting like, I'm playing everything in this. And then like, it came to the point where I was like, you know what? I want to be as unauthentic as possible. I'm going to do this computer music. You're basically getting glorified karaoke,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, and for whatever reason that became immensely more successful.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't know what the reason was. Hey, that's my album. I released that.
Yeah, it is.
Thanks ACM for
plugging
that.
Yeah. Pictures in a room on the third floor where
no
one is.
Like, it was funny because, like they were doing that whole, like, did you release music in like 2016? And whenever Derek texted me about that, the Flaming Lips were playing on Jimmy Fallon that night.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. I was like, don't you have like more important things to do than text a peasant like me?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it was weird.
No, cause, I don't think I'm going to stop trying to be authentic.
Given don't stop being authentic. Especially since, you know, you're doing something that, like, looper music is very authentic. Like, some of the soundscapes people create, like I mentioned to you earlier, Jarvix. Like,
yeah, Jarvix is excellent.
He is amazing. And he really knows the music scene in Oklahoma City and Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, he just, wow.
Yeah. But
he's an awesome dude too.
But like, even with the podcast and sort of like the whole reason as to why I do this is because I want to get to know people.
Yeah.
In a real way.
Yeah.
Like Larry King, who you're going to have a fist fight with.
Yes.
He asks like, I guess, personal questions, but like, it's just like it's a stage.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, well, I'm asking this because this is what you should do.
Yeah. Larry King to me, have you seen his, newest like show, quote unquote? It's
no.
So like CNN canceled Larry King Live. Big mistake, CNN. but yeah, they canceled Larry King Live. And then, I don't know, I think it's on Hulu, but like you can find most of it on YouTube.
Yeah.
He's got his own new show now that's a lot more personal.
And that's what I'd rather see.
Yeah. I really like it. He does, he has one with Eric Andre, and Eric Andre kind of rips him to shreds because like is showing how, you know, it could be more personal, but like he's not going to give a serious answer because he's Eric fucking Andre.
Yeah.
No, like, cause like there's one point and he's like asking him all these questions. He's like, you know, who's, your favorite talk show host? And he's like, Larry King. And he's like, who's the person you look up to the most? Larry King. And he's like only answering with Larry King.
Yeah.
So, and like, he starts to get like personal with him, and he's like, I was, you know, growing up in Boca Raton, Florida or whatever. And, he goes, my dad was like a black surgeon or whatever. And my mom is an Orthodox Jew. Hmm. And he's like, I'm black and Jewish. I'm bluish. And then he was like, are you really Jewish? And he's like, yeah, I'm circumcised. You want to see? And then like going back into being Eric Andre, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just one of those.
And yeah, that's kind of like, once you get to that level and like you really get to know people, it transcends something a little bit more than just like, oh, hey, we took that class together. Or like,
yeah. Well, and I think that's something like ACM, like you kind of get to a point where like you're either like acquaintances at best or like best friends with someone.
Yeah.
Like me and Stuart Adams, like it could have gone either way. Like we're basically like best friends now. But like first semester, like you're kind of like acquaintances at best with everyone.
Yeah.
And then you kind of find the people that you share interests with and you're like, you're cool. Yeah. You know?
And yeah. I'm trying to be good friends with everyone. Because I think we can. I think that everyone can be good friends. Even people that you're, I mean, like, maybe there's some people that you're just like, nope, we're just not going to click. Sorry, this is not going to happen.
Some people, yeah. And that's the way the world works. I mean, there's some people that you just don't click with. Yeah.
But I mean, like, I think everyone here is capable of
for sure
understanding each other. And so in that way, like, that's why the authenticity is important to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, well, and like some people even have like differing views. Like for me, I'm like mastering, just like, you know, get it to the right level, whatever, you know? And whereas you're like, I'm going to save up for mastering. I just am like, you know, why would I spend money on mastering when I could just get it somewhat similar myself?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'm just self-conscious and that's just a whole other thing. But
yeah. Well, and I also don't aim for my music to be perfect.
Yeah.
It's like perfectly imperfect.
Well, that is a difference. No, I think that both of us can sort of make that work in our own way. And so that's why there is room for someone like, I'm trying to think of like the biggest persona that isn't like a real, who's the biggest act that's a persona?
What do you mean? Like,
musically,
just like biggest.
Yeah.
That's a persona. Probably like David Bowie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I mean, his name's not even David Bowie.
Yeah.
His name was David Jones and he was going to go by Davy Jones, but then the Monkees, you know, took that. So, but I don't know, like David Bowie was still really authentic though, even though he was a big persona.
And in a way, like you're kind of doing both.
Yeah.
That like, hey, this is really me, but I'm putting it through a filter of,
yeah. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. The music industry is just fucking weird. Like, and like Topican Ice Cream's gotten me all fucked up about like what the music industry can be. Cause like,
or tries to be.
Well, and just like everyone tries to be just like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
You know? And being uncool is almost cool now. It's so weird.
Yeah.
I don't understand anything. Like, I don't understand the music business. It makes no sense. I should probably take some, like, business classes or something. I should learn to deduct things from my taxes.
That is important. Yes, you should probably do that.
Yeah. I saw Alex Coleman from Horse Thief posted on Facebook today. He was like, everyone needs to make sure you take Nick Lay's
yes, Nick definitely, Lay's actually, class. Yes.
Because he was like, and then someone commented and they were like, driving to practice, deductible. Coors Light at practice, deductible.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everything is tax deductible, friends.
Yeah.
As long as you're making a living off of it. If you get paid enough.
I don't even think I have to pay taxes. I think I've made less than $600 on it. Because that's the limit, right? 600? Is like, if you make less than 600, you don't have to pay taxes on it.
I'm so bad with numbers. But you're probably right.
That's what I've heard, something like that. I know I don't make enough to pay taxes on it.
Yeah.
Especially for Campbell Young. I think the Lunar Laugh, we make enough.
Yeah. But you personally, you probably don't.
No. Although we do have a gig coming up like in July, and we have to play 2 40-minute sets, but like as a band, we're getting paid $500.
Hmm.
And I was like, people pay that much for music? What?
Yeah. Well.
And they were like, or you could do 1 40-minute set and split it between another band. And
yeah.
And we were like, no, we'll just take the 500. We can do 2 40-minute sets.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's another thing, is that like you reach out to the right people, that like if you didn't talk to Derek as much as you do, you probably wouldn't like have a talk show obviously in the works.
Yeah. For me, like the thing is for me is I'm always like, and I have to explain this to my parents a lot, because they'll always be like, why do you spend money on this? And I'm kind of like, you know, if I don't do this now, it'll always just be an idea.
Yeah.
Especially like with a talk show. Like if I don't do this now when I'm young and stupid and can make mistakes, like I'm never going to live this weird dream that I have to be a talk show host. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so at this point, yeah. Let's make it happen.
It takes enough, you know, room to say just fuck it.
Yeah.
You know? And someone like Derek, who like, luckily he likes my music enough, and you know, knows what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that you kind of have to get in good with certain people.
Yeah.
Because like, I won't say who said it to me, but someone was like, Derek's a dick or whatever. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Cause he's like one of the nicest guys I've met.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I've heard a few people say that about Scott too. I think it's people that have like, you know, just like introduced themselves and like kind of tried to force themselves. Whereas like with Scott, like he saw my set, like he happened to be passing by and like heard it and liked it.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I went up to him and made that initial, like, hey, thanks for staying through my set.
Yeah.
Like, talked music. Like, it wasn't me going up to him, you know, like the average ACM student searching for, you know, stardom.
Yeah.
I was, like, just trying to make a genuine thank you that turned into, like, an hour and a half conversation about music.
Yeah.
With him and Derek. And then, you know, Derek heard my newest album that he really liked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
So I do honestly think that does stem from... an authenticity of just I'm trying to, you know, actually thank you for doing something that I appreciated.
Well, and like for Scott to even like stay through my set last year, like that was, he stayed through almost all of it, which I was like, why? It comes back to that, like, why do you give a shit?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm always like, why? I ask a lot of why questions.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, why do things happen?
Yeah. Well, either way, people like it.
Yeah. I feel like it's one of those things where like as a person, I'm very authentic, but then once I get on stage is when it's very unauthentic.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the authenticity stems from.
Yeah.
Because... I don't know. I feel like on stage, you can kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
Which is why I like something like Gil Manterra's party dream.
You know?
Because they'll, like, you know, like, the lead singer went by Ultimate Donnie, but, like, his real name's, like, Richard Elmsworth, you know?
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, David Bowie, like, probably one of the most authentic musicians, but would always go by, you know, a different persona.
Yeah.
Like, who else?
Prince, I guess, because
I mean, yeah,
if we're talking about
the artist formerly known as Prince,
yeah,
the little symbol or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Is there, like, what do you call that then? Do you just call him Prince out loud?
Or someone like Devo? Like, Devo's fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah,
Freedom of Choice is an excellent album,
yeah. Anyways, the last question that I usually ask on the second one is, what do you want people to listen to or see or watch or whatever?
Of my stuff or just anything?
Or just anything, yeah.
I've got a list. Gil Manterra's Party Dream, please listen to it. They have one album that's on iTunes from 2006 called Blood Songs. It's fantastic. Go on their website, partydream.com. And they have all their old merch. You can literally buy their old merch. I bought one of their old EPs. And it's Richard. Like, it's Ultimate Donnie that still runs it. Mm. And he was like, he emailed me back after, like, my purchase confirmation. He was like, oh, hey, I was, like, away from the merch. Sorry it took so long. Just, like, pick one other thing from the website.
Mm.
And I was like, yeah, I'll take, like, the, you know, live performances DVD. So yeah, that, Book of Love, it's an album by Book of Love. It's, it's so cheesy, but it's so good. I'm just going through my music right now. Freedom of Choice, Devo, always great. You know, Mac DeMarco's got some new stuff coming out. That's awesome. I found this new band, called Muna or Muna. I don't know how you pronounce it. It's M-U-N-A. It's an all-girl group. They're going to be opening for Bleachers on their tour that they're doing.
Cool.
And I was like, last night I was like checking it out, and I really dig it.
Yeah.
They're really awesome.
Yeah.
I don't know what you should see. Go see Power Rangers. I haven't seen it, but
that was a fun movie.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah. Well, it was fun.
Yeah. I think
it's not like good in the sense of, like, you know, 2001 A Space Odyssey. I wouldn't say so, but, like.
Yeah, but it's a movie.
It's good.
It's enjoyable. It's not a waste of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else? Tangerine Dream. They're awesome.
And then obviously your music.
Yeah, listen to Campbell Young. You can pre-order my album if you want to. It's called The Universe Part 1. Subtext, The Ninja, because it's about a ninja who falls in love and then becomes a party god, which is the stupidest.
It's excellent.
It's so stupid, it's excellent. That's like Jimmy Jackson. Whenever I initially told him about Tropicana Ice Cream, he literally was like, that is so dumb and so awesome at the same time.
Exactly.
Which is like the appeal of everything. But yeah, you can pre-order it. There's one new song with it that's on, you know, you get it with the pre-order, or you can just buy that one song, or you can just listen to that one song on Apple Music. So yeah. And then Don't Tell Dina, soundcloud.com/Don't Tell Dina, Don't Tell Dina.com, thelunarlaugh.com. The Lunar Laugh is everywhere. Listen to Mama's Boy. It's a fantastic album. Rodney, what is his last name? He's been working for KROQ for a long time. He's basically the one that brought David Bowie to the States.
Oh, I think I did see that picture.
Rodney Bingenheimer. That's his name. Yes. He has started playing Mama's Boy on his show on, KROQ, which is very exciting.
Yeah.
Because that's a big radio station. He is a big personality. So Yeah. Listen to it. The title track is amazing. It's my favorite thing to play on bass. It's so good. I love it. I didn't even play on the title track, and I love it.
Yeah.
It's just go listen to it. It's so good. I love it. Like, and the reaction whenever people listen to it is they're like, oh, wow, this sounds like a real band. Because there's kind of this weird, like, thing with, like, Oklahoma bands, and you're kind of like, oh, it doesn't really sound like a real band. But, like, there's a select few albums where you listen to it and you're like, oh, this sounds like a real band.
Yeah.
You know, like someone, something you'd hear on like a major record label.
Yeah.
Also, Bo Jennings and the Tigers, Back in Town is a fantastic song. It sounds like a Springsteen song, but just enough not like one that you're like, it's so good.
And also features two people that have been on this podcast.
Yes. Dustin Raglan, Michael Trepanier. Incredible.
Yeah.
So good. Awesome. Yeah, that's what I recommend. Devo, Book of Love, Gilman Terrace Party Dream. Cannot stress that enough. Someone listen to them. They're the greatest band in the world, I'm convinced. Yeah. And then Muna, M-U-N-A.
Yeah.
They've got a new album out. It's good.
Yeah.
Listen to it. I love it. Yeah. Power Rangers.
I've been listening to a lot of Everything Everything.
Everything Everything? What is that?
So hard to describe. They're like British, and the lead singer sings in falsetto all the time, which if you don't like that, then that's also fine falsetto. Too. but, it's like funky rock poppy. It's also very wordy. So it's almost rap.
Is it Everything, Everything, one word or two words?
Two words.
And they're on, like, Apple Music and everything?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, here they are.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's... I feel like the only way to describe it is, like, it's just everything. Like, they have pop influences and rock influences. They have funk influences.
If you want to know, it's a genre-defining indie rock outfit based in Manchester. Everything, Everything formed in late 2007 around...
Okay, we don't have to read the whole thing.
I'm going to stop reading the bio right there because it is very long.
Yeah, that looks very long.
I just realized how long it is. But no, yeah, I'm actually very interested to look that up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also, I haven't been listening to it as much, but I saw Clipping at Metro.
Their Clipping is so good. I wish I could have seen
them. Oh, my gosh.
I wish I could have seen them.
Like, it hit me on a primal level, and I danced my ass off.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Clipping is so good. And I was, like, as soon as I saw that they were playing, I was literally like, what? Clipping?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah.
Also, some bands that I saw at Metro Music Fest that are very good. Swim Fan. They're very good.
Really?
They're very good. they're... very like Mac DeMarco-esque. They're very, that's all I can say is they're very good.
Cool.
And then, Linka, always a treat.
Yeah. Played right Linka's after me. Very good.
The first time I saw them was at, one of Tim Burgess's house parties that he was throwing.
Yeah.
And they had a Donald Trump pinata that the crowd ripped to pieces.
Nice. Nice.
Like, and then as soon as I saw that, I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually someone else I get on the podcast.
Get the whole band. Like, they're all excellent people. Dan, I don't know their other guitar player. Yeah, I don't know him that much. But both Dan and Link are excellent people. They're so nice.
Anyways, thank you again.
Thanks for having me here. This has been great.
It's been super fun talking about stupid and dumb why it's and not awesome. Stupid.
Yeah, dumb I guess. And awesome.
And so, once again, find all of Campbell's stuff. You can find all of my stuff on my website, SantiagoRamones.com. You can see how many times I've said this because it just, like, rolls off.
Yeah.
Yeah. you can find everything that I do on my website, SantiagoRamones.com, which I make music, which you can listen to on there. I also make this podcast, which you will find on there. And I always end it with my three things, which are love never fails. It's going to be okay. I might be wrong.
Very true.